Spooky JavaScript.
Which you are about to hear will sound spooky and supremely confusing. The code I attach does not help at all, but it is spooky. The code is 333 lines long, and it processes just one line of code. And yet, AI complained that I used it too much. It's not rare for AI to tell you to take a chill pill when you work on a large program, but my program is really tiny, and it just makes a list of words. When you have been programming since you were 10 and max out your AI usage by making a list of random words in 333 source lines of code, that can only mean one thing. You have been up to something spooky. And I was. There are three spooky things that I can think of. Using the bitwise OR operator as a dual data pipe with dual mode commands. That's just letters by default, but you can add parentheses with arguments turning letters into functions. Yikes! Spooky! So you can say play or play. Open parentheses, some playlist name, close parentheses. Programming languages do not allow such behavior. That is spooky stuff. You know, you really want to distinguish between your variables and functions and not treat the two as the same thing. Very spooky. An odd little thing that can optionally accept parentheses and arguments is scary. Already on top of abusing the bitwise OR operator, which is hard to want. The reason why we use the bitwise OR operator is Unix, like in Jurassic Park. The pipe character above your enter key, next to the forward slash, is used to say pipe the output of this command into the input of the next, in Unix-inspired operating systems. When you see hackers geeking out in black screens, that just means that they are building networks of commands that pipe data around. Well, the good ones are, anyway. What the bitwise OR operator is for is binary math when you're working with bits. Variables that are functions, apparently, don't make much sense when not actually executed, certainly outside of this program, but here they are good information, and that is pretty cooky. Let me give you a tiny example of what is possible. We can now say print, open parentheses, open single quote, bow, close single quote, close parentheses. Then our pipe character, ooh, and then just another function or word. Email, open parentheses, open single quote, Alice, close single quote, close parentheses. Or we can say print boo pipe email. No parentheses, no quotes. It still has the same effect. And before you complain how I messed it up, no, I did not. Instead of executing anything, would this whole program, all the 333 lines add up to, is creating a simple array of all the names and arguments so that people can program their own action or command execution schemes. But we gotta be honest about this. Any professional programmer encountering this in JavaScript will get seriously spooked and probably take up a different profession. Now, unfortunately, because of the way bitwise operators demand that there is something between them, this program does have one flaw. You have to define your commands, like email and print or message and text, beforehand. Our second bit of spooky code uses dots or the period instead of pipe, though the things between the dots can accept arguments, but don't have to. So it's the same mechanism as above. The little trick here is to use periods to separate things that return other things that can be separated by periods. So, it's really just a property that returns an object that returns an object, though we use a proxy to automate the process. Unlike the bitwise operator, dots or periods are made specifically for this purpose, so we are not fighting anything here. This style of programming is called fluent. Training bare variables that can be optionally executed is still just as spooky as it was above. But the frightening part here is that you don't need to define your commands, because we use an object proxy, which is somewhat spooky in itself. The JavaScript proxy allows us to intercept the words that we are separating by dots and return something that can be chained again. You know, we are executing actions before they exist in our program. So from a certain perspective, this is a causality violation, which is a major spooky. But things get really serious when you connect artificial intelligence to it, who will do the commands based on their names. And that's quite enough. Name and arguments will tell AI exactly what to create. Here, our professional programmer retires. Good luck debugging that which may not yet exist as they try to change things around. Jinkies. Our third spooky is even better because it is actually useful. Because we go beyond code and into the frightening world of databases and SQL. Yuck. Though we are not going to discuss the madness of over-engineered databases. Still, let me just say this. You create tables of data that all have customer ID and a whole bunch of other columns. Tables like account, orders, messages. And then you just say, join account and messages on customer ID and give me the result. If you add what the customer ID is, you get this beautiful table with account and messages for a specific user. It's pretty cool stuff. As things eventually spiral into scary insanity, there are many relationships between data. From orders to account, you have many orders to one account, which is many to one. From playlists to songs, you have many to many. But in the much nicer world of programming, we use only one to many. And we call it a tree. Some call the tree the greatest invention in programming. Your file system is a tree. The guts of a web page are a tree. And even the user interface on your screen is a tree. Screen has many windows. Windows have layouts. Layouts can have forms to fill out and buttons to click. And so on. Certainly nothing to sneeze at, I'll tell you that. Trees are a true wonder. They do get confusing after a while. And here, we can use proxies again to intercept object property access. For example, when we say the following in JavaScript, account.orders equals array, we can calculate that account and orders are tables, and all users have an account and they store orders in their account. And to relate user tables together, we can join on account.username and orders.username. Though account ID would be better since usernames can change sometimes. When in the programming world we say account.orders add order, the orders table in the database will receive a new row. Oh yeah. And the properties of the columns in the orders table, that just comes straight out of the order object, which the programmer will have to define, but not in the database, just in their code. And when we are ready to make this program live, the same mechanism that made our database work also generated a proper database schema file for use in professional production. So, it's no trouble, but it is spooky.